Welcome back to the Coach's Playbook Podcast. Today, Coach Chancellor Dugan from Bellarmine University gets into the zone offense as well as what it takes to make a deep run in postseason tournament play. She graciously offers to share her early offense diagrams and drills as well as have any coaches come anytime. If you'd like her contact info, just email me at wyattfaust@gmail.com. That's W-Y-A-T-T-F-O-U-S-T @gmail.com. All right, let's get started. On today's episode, we are joined by Coach Chancellor Dugan from Bellarmine University. Coach Dugan has a long history of winning big at both the Division II and Division I levels, and we are excited to have her on today to share her insights into zone offense and what it takes to make a deep run in the postseason. Coach Dugan, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Wyatt. First of all, thank you so much for having this. And I'm honored to be on here, but very shocked at talking about zone offense, because if anybody knows me, they know that I hate zone. And but I've had to really adapt and delve into it a little bit further than maybe what I would like to. But thank you again for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big part of the reason we're talking about it. I think everybody hates zone. And it's kind of out of that spite.
Except AAU.
Yes. Yeah, they wear it out there.
Wear it out.
All right. So, like, you guys are transitioning from D2 to D1 this year. I think a lot of high school coaches would just be interested to know, aside from just the recruiting standpoint, you know, what do you anticipate to be the big differences in how you handle the other aspects of the program?
You know, Wyatt, I talk to the girls all the time about, you know, I'm going to treat you like you are Division I players. And I've always said that from the moment I got hired, you know, here at Bellarmine, I treat them as they are Division I players, because a lot of them were recruited. Most of them, all of them had been recruited and offered scholarships by Division I, and they chose to come to Bellarmine and to play Division II. So, the recruiting standpoint, I think, is, you know, we need obviously bigger, stronger, faster. And that's really the going to be the biggest difference, is just bigger, stronger, faster. And then I think we can, with the recruiting, we can get in on the kids that only say they're going to go D1. I mean, you know, our phones were blowing up, email was blowing up as soon as we announced we were going D1. And a lot of them were kids that we were, you know, had tried to talk to, but they weren't interested because we were D2. So, you know, sometimes I think a lot of it is the parents have, you know, that in their mind, and they don't look at all aspects of the school, number one, and what the university has to offer for that particular student athlete. And then obviously getting to know and watching the coaching staff and the head coach in particular, and can they be successful playing for that style and that head coach? Maybe one of the differences would be, they might get more gear. You know, I think, you know, that might be one of the only things. They may maybe eat more, you know, a little bit. I think, you know, as far as travel, you know, we'll fly a little bit more, but not much. There's so many more Division I's around us that we can get to within a 2-hour radius, versus Division II. So the travel might be a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you've coached you've coached in the D2 national championship game. I mean, you've had team, you know, that team, that won 30 games, they could have beaten a ton of Division I schools. And I think it's those that, you know, and D2 is such a good option for a lot of kids. I hate that it gets missed out on, competing at the highest level of D2, you're going to end up in a lot of good towns that may still support the team, and you know, the feel for the program may be a lot more exciting than a lot of Division I schools. But I hate that gets missed out on by so many kids who could go and compete for championships, you know, but they get that, they see the allure of being able to say that they were Division I. And I think that's why you get a lot of the transfer stuff as well.
I totally agree. You know, and I think that, they reach for a program, that may be out of their reach. And I think that, you know, because, you know, as coaches, you know, we're always, you know, looking to get better, you know, hey, I've got this, but I need to get better. I need to get better. So, you know, if you overreach, you're going to get passed by. And, you know, a lot of times I don't think that, that everyone sees that as how reality is.
Oh, sure. I think it was Tarkanian said something like, you know, I need eight players and a couple really good cheerleaders. So, you know, just because, you know, they can bring you on doesn't necessarily mean that's the best fit, but, you know, hopefully some, you know, people kind of grasp that, and the people that are in these kids' ears are telling them that stuff too. So hopefully that, you know, is going on. But kind of turning the page a little bit, let's talk about zone offense. You know, we already, you know, you hit on it first thing. You know, it's just funny. You know, I think if you ask most high school coaches if they'd rather play against a man-to-man team or a zone team, I think the majority would probably choose to go against man teams. You know, I think they're more comfortable teaching man offense as opposed to their zone offense. You know, you guys didn't see much zone this year, and probably for good reason. You know, you guys were up in the 90th percentile in all Division II teams in zone offense. You know, you guys averaged like 0.93 points per possession, which is really, really good. You know, and I watched a ton of your zone offensive clips, and, you know, you got the two posts that alternate flashing short corner to nail, which is a pretty, you know, pretty common zone offensive action. And you know, you can dress it up a lot of different ways, but at the end of the day, you know, most zone offenses, you get into a 1-3-1 look and kids make plays. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily what you run as much as how you run it. Would you agree?
I think so. And I think I think the thing that we did this year, and I think we were successful with it, and the stats kind of proved that out, was we went against zone in practice. And, you know, I think that that's a lot of mistake that, you know, I have in the past made, you know, not really started out in October working on going against a zone defense so we can work on our zone offense, you know, because I'm such a man coach, and you know, I love to teach the different ways of playing man-to-man defense, that really the only zone defense that we really put in was a 1-3-1. I mean, now you always have a 2-3 in there just because, you know, to work against it in case you ever have someone that plays it, you know. So those two zones were the only really two that we ever, you know, went against. But this year, you know, we did a lot more of practicing against the zone defense, working on our zone offense. And, you know, like you said, you know, we do run our post, and you know, I'm definitely, you know, I mean, if you want to look at like Don Staley, you want to look at Kim Mulkey, you know, that use the two post offense. I do that, and I go back to Pat Summit before them, and you know, getting my offense from her, you know, and you know how, you know, she ran that high low, and you know, if you have a good high low, man, there's just, it's hard to stop, you know, and yep. As far as I'm concerned. So, you know, we really work on, the guards, you know, like we have a couple offenses that are basically the same. One is short corner and the other is rim. And so, you know, you've got your three out, your guards are out, your two posts are in. And like you said, they run short corner. And then if the high post catches that, if there's a girl in the short corner, they run behind the defense, they run behind their head. And then they, you know, swing the ball. If they're not open, you swing the ball, and then that high post dives, and the other girl rises up. So you know, you get that, and then if the girl gets it in short corner, the high post dives behind the head of the defense, and all that doing is diving behind the head takes that sight away. But it also, if they're not open, it also opens up the girl that drops to the corner. So the guard that drops to the corner on the action coming from the sideline is going to be wide open. If the you know, post takes that, she drags her in. And then conversely, if you have the girl at the high post and she drops down, taking that girl at the top, the guard at the top defender down with her, that opens up the skip pass. And so we drill on that a lot. You know, we have breakdown drills in that. We do 5-on-5 on that a lot. And then we watch, you know, we go back and we watch tape on that as well as, you know, okay, hey, you could have slid here a little bit more, you know, and then we talk to our guards about just not standing still, attacking gaps off the dribble. And I think that's very important that, you know, your guards sometimes they just get used to, okay, I'm going to catch and then either I'm going to shoot the three or I'm just going to pass into the post. And they forget about their responsibility to attack gaps and get somebody else open.
That's you've answered about 10 good questions in a row, which is great. But you know, to that end on some of those things, you know, just, I watched about 100 of your guys' zone offensive clips and just some things that were consistent were, you know, the guards just do an excellent job of relocating when that ball goes in the middle. And I mean, what happens is it just seems like they understand the windows and how to get in the vision of the passer so well, you know. So that was something I think that people would like to know is, you know, do you drill it? Do you rep it? Stop and teach, you know, breakdown drills. And I think all that stuff seems like, you know, it has to be in play for how well they do it. You know, it's just, you know, the post players seem to be so comfortable. I mean, they catch it, look for high-low immediately when that's not there. I mean, they could make pass without looking sometimes because they know exactly where their guards are going to be. The guards are exactly where they're supposed to be. And the thing is, they're there with their feet set already. And I think that makes the difference in them sliding over there and catching while they're sliding as opposed to having their feet set and just being ready to go at it. It makes them a better shooter. Right. It makes them a better driver. And then they've always got the next pass to the corner. And I think that was the biggest thing I saw with your guys' offense.
Yeah, and we do work on that a lot. We in rim, we when it comes to the high post, the guards are taught to tilt. Okay, so if I'm up at the top and I'm on a wing, if it comes from, you know, that side, I've got to tilt around. So now I'm from the top, I go to the wing, and from the wing, I go to the corner. So, you know, that's the movement that we get on that pass. So the guards aren't just standing there. They are tilting every time that ball goes in. And it, you know, and we drill on it in our drills called One More, which I stole from Calipari. So anybody can, if you want to just Google him and then Google One More, you can get that. You can get that drill. It's a great drill. And we just make them up. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we have three lines, four lines. It doesn't matter. You know, we drive, kick, and then they've just got to say one more. And then just the pass keeps on moving. And his thing to that is it's as soon as the ball touches your hands, you are passing the ball. And that's made us better passers, honestly, because we really weren't that good to begin with. And, you know, so the post had been drilled, and this is really the best year that we've really had our post moving and knowing kind of what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Candace, and then I got to give a lot of credit to Shannon on the guard end, you know, just working breakdown drills with the girls all the time and, you know, getting them to move and to understand, you know, where those holes are, especially in the post, you know, where those holes are. And then, you know, just making them, I mean, I yelled them all the time. And if you go back and watch, you know, clips, like you're saying, you'll probably hear me yell, move, you know, and go screen. And just because, you know, you've got to, the movement of the post players is so integral in how everything's going to work. Because if you can't get the ball into the middle on a pass or a drive, then you're just shooting threes.
Right.
And, so, I mean, we drill it a lot. And, you know, for all those high school coaches that are listening, anybody that's listening, our practices are open. So just email me, obviously when this stuff's all over and we start back up again, but email me and I'd love to have you come to a practice. And if there's anything that you want to see, email me and I'll put it in a practice. You know, we'll work on it. You know, I mean, as long as we run it, you know, I'd love to, you know, show you breakdown drills of it or anything that we do.
I really,
you know,
hope.
And right, you,
Go ahead.
You were so right on. I mean, you were so right on. You said, you know, you're going to steal this. You know, I steal so much from, you know, everybody. I watch tape. And I mean, if I go and I watch a high school kid and they're running a great drill, I'm taking it back and we're running it. You know, I just think that, that, you know, you can learn from everybody.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, going back to, you know, breakdowns, you know, you said mm-hmm. you guys will do post guard breakdown. Will you come right back together then and go, you know, put it all together and kind of do it that way?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I like to do that probably more than not, you know. I like to do post guard breakdowns and then, all right, let's go 5-on-5. You know, we might go half court, and then we could. And one of the things I really like to do is a full court, a score, stop, score. Meaning, you know, the first team that gets a score and then a stop and then a score wins. And, you know, I think that teaches, you know, purposefulness of what you're doing, you know, and competitiveness, because no one likes to lose.
No, not if they're at that level, they're probably not into losing. Yeah. You know, and something that I've just loved and just something here in, you know, I think kids do really well when they get, you know, terminology that they can really digest. You know, I'm big on teaching points and making sure that, you know, my verbiage is consistent and making sure, you know, so like dive behind their head, you know, mm-hmm. one more, you know, I think, you know, those things help them not just hear it, but see it in a hurry. So, you know, I love all that stuff. So any of those little kind of nuggets and teaching points, you know, you mentioned the post players, you know, their activity is just kind of unusual. I mean, just to be honest, it's just unusual out of post players. You guys, you know, and it didn't matter which one it was, you know, it seems to me like they're so good at, you know, finding that soft spot, not being a robot. They've always got their hands up. They're ready to receive a pass. You know, is there anything special that you're drilling with those guys, you're doing, or you're teaching them or saying that's getting them to do this consistently?
I'd like to say like a whip and chains. Because just kidding, but no, I mean, I'm just drilling it. And then, you know, I've played that spot. So, I mean, I get out there and I show them, Candace shows them, you know, we harp on it all the time. I mean, it's drilled into them. I mean, they probably go to their, you know, they go back home and they probably have nightmares about me screaming at them, go screen, set a screen, move, don't stand. You know, and you know, I think it's when you have a post player who is very active, it sets up everyone else to be that active. And we had that this year. So they get to because, you know, you don't want to be the one not doing it, you know. Absolutely. So when a coach praises, you know, that person for being so active and running and moving and getting to be, you know, what I want it to look like. You know, I think everybody else kind of falls in line. So, you know, you just have to go out and you have to get that person that is going to be consistently moving, if that makes sense.
Yeah. One thing, and I'm sure it's true on the guy's side as well. You know, some of them may not want to admit it, but especially with the girls, man, what gets praised gets repeated. And, you know, there's times where, you know, I think you can get really great at something without ever drilling the crap out of it, depending on what it is. If you just really, really praise it. And, you know, if you want to get kids to buy into roles, I think, you know, or doing something, I think you're dead on. You know, that's something that I try to talk to a lot about, you know, with my coaches is just, hey, let's praise the right things and do it often.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, I totally agree with that because it's, you know, they if someone does something right, I mean, you know, because when we run our lanes, you know, and I know you wanted to talk about, you know, our early offense, and when we run our lanes and we get it right, you know, I mean, I'll stop practice and I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is how this is supposed to feel. And, you know, I think that when they understand it, you know, I think when they, you know, obviously they just did it, But when they understand that, oh, okay, this is what coach wants, mm-hmm. you know, it comes a lot easier, you know, and, you know, you can attract a lot more, you know, flies with honey than you can, you know, with vinegar. So, you know, I mean, that, there's a point in time when, you know, you have to get on them, but, you know, I think if you can praise them the majority of the time, it's a lot better.
Sure. You know, and kind of alluding to what you said, you know, talking about your early offense, you know, there's a lot of zone screening in your early offense, which I really like. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can kind of get them moving before they get set and kind of give them something different, I think that definitely benefits you. And I believe, you know, I believe you also run that early offense against man. Is that right?
Yep. Yes. Yes. I got that. Actually, I got that from my former assistant, who's head coach at Southern Indiana, Rick Stein. He got it from his junior college coach at Parkland Junior College. So I've been running this for my whole head coaching career, and it's called NBA. But you know, we run it. We've got, you know, we number the lanes. The post runs the rim. Whoever doesn't rebound, they run the rim. And then the guards run the outside, you know, the twos and the threes. And then the point guard can take either the right side or the left side. And then the trailer goes opposite of whatever the point guard is. So, you know, we come up and, you know, I'm such a post coach, you know, and, you know, we go inside early and often. So if they can hit the post running the rim, then we're hitting the post running the rim. You know, if not, then, you know, we've got two other looks for that post before we get into our action. So we just kind of, we move the ball from one side to the other, which is always good, gets a defensive shift, especially, you know, and maybe you get a different matchup, you know, maybe the post has to guard a guard for that. So, you know, I try to always tell them, you know, hey, look who's guarding you. And if you can take somebody off the dribble, go. So in that, you know, we get it back to the point guard, and that high post goes low, and then we have a guard come in to get a screen off of that. So, you know, we can screen man to man, or you can screen obviously against the zone on that. And then toward the end of the year, we kind of tweaked it a little bit because everybody was guarding it, and we sent our guard through to screen for the post, and the post that was supposed to screen popped out. So now you've got a guard picking for a post, and you know that might be a switch, and if not, then the guard's going to be open, you know, up top. And I really like it. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, you know, on the phone.
Yeah.
It's a lot of action that gets everybody gets a touch of the ball, which I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, you could come down, you know, I mean, I've seen us run, you know, offense sometimes and come down and, you know, two people didn't touch the ball. You know, I'm like, come on, you know, everybody needs to touch the ball. So, you know, I think that everybody gets in, you know, and they get touches in early. So I think, you know, everybody feels invested in what we're doing.
That's great. And like you said, it can be hard just kind of visualizing it for some coaches, I think, you know, myself as well. But I'm telling everybody that's listening, if you're looking for an X's and O's type thing, and it's worth, you know, reaching out to you and getting a pen to paper to it, because I love it. It creates great actions against zone or man. And it's just, for an early offense, it's some of the best stuff I've seen. So I encourage somebody to kind of pick that up if they can.
I appreciate that.
Sure. So kind of, you know, moving on from zone offense, I could talk mm-hmm. about it all day, cause I'm still trying to figure out how to beat a zone. So, but kind of shifting gears.
Well, I've got some quick hitters too. So, I mean, I'd love to talk to somebody about that. I love our quick hitters. So, against zone. So if anybody, you know, wants to, you can reach out to me via email or call me or whatever, and I can send you, some clips on it.
Yeah. And I'll give everybody, your contact information after the, how to get a hold of you after the show. But in 2016, you guys won the GLVC, tournament, and went to play in the NCAA tournament. You know, you played in the national championship before, you've won your conference in other schools before. You know, how do you attack preparing for teams on short prep time? You know, or what do you think helps you most when you kind of have made those runs? I think everybody's, you know, when you get in that moment, you want to make the most of it. And you don't, you know, I think a lot of time coaches are too afraid to ask for help or afraid to reach out. But what would you tell those people who are trying to make a run at their regional tournament or the state tournament?
You know, I think the bottom line is be yourself, be who you are. Don't reinvent the wheel. I think that's, you know, I made those mistakes when I was, you know, first starting. I was like, oh, you know, we're going to change everything up. We're going to do this. And it's just the kids, they can't do it. You know, they've learned something. They know something. They've been drilled at it. So just be yourself. Do what you do, and really drill down on, I know, you know, in high school, you don't have late clock, but, late quarter clock, drill down on that. What you want to do, you know, in late quarter, what you want to do out of bounds, you know, put in a couple new out of bounds plays, sideline plays. Those are things that I think, you know, those are the easy points that I think that a lot of people overlook. And I think that those points right there are, you know, if you win a 2-point game, that's probably because you had a good out of bounds play in that they weren't expecting. So, you know, if you can save, and I always try to save a couple of OBs that, you know, and I don't use them, you know, maybe for 2 or 3 years, and then I'll put them in the postseason. And I just think that, you know, those are cheap points that you can get from that. But be yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. Don't try to change and adjust. Do what you do.
That's invaluable, you know, to hear that and to maybe prevent yourself from making that mistake down the road. And I'm spot on with you about the baseline out of bounds wars. You know, that's what we call it. We call it the blob wars, and we want to win those every single night. So, you know, we put a lot of time into it, and I had my coaches charted at the end. And, you know, one thing that was nice to see is, you know, we were averaging 3 more points per game on, you know, a plus 3-point, you know, differential in baseline out of bounds plays. And, you know, I just, in all those tight games, you look at those things and you just got to think, you know, hopefully that, you know, comes back and helps us down the road. But
I'm telling you, I mean, I didn't do it enough. We were really poor at OB defense early on. And, you know, and I just got on him. I said, this is a matter of pride for me. I said, you guys are not taking this serious. I said, y'all are just giving up points right here. I said, you're not, you know, you got to get up in somebody. You got to make sure, you know, you're playing tough through this possession, you know, and they bought in and we got a lot better at it, you know. But, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm guilty of this as well. Sometimes, you know, you think that, oh, you know, they've got it when they don't really have it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I think that's why, you know, going back and watching tape, you know, is so critical to that. So you can, you know, look at, because you think, oh, well, okay, we're doing good on OBs. And when you go back and look and you're like, well, we're really not, you know, look at that, you know, because I mean, a lot of times maybe somebody doesn't make a pass, they're open, but maybe the offense, you know, didn't make the pass. You still have to, you know, drill down on that and make sure that, you know, that's not going to be open anymore.
Sure. All right, Coach, last segment. We're just going to fly by. It's the full court press on you. All right. I need you to answer the questions in 10 seconds or less. All right. Toughest place to play in the GLVC?
Bellarmine.
I like it. Does high school need a shot clock?
Of course.
I knew you'd say that. Up 3 with 8 seconds. Are you fouling?
The toughest question of this round, because I've done it both ways and we've lost both ways.
I'll give you a pass. Should the women's 3-point line be the same distance as the men's?
Yes. No, I mean, I'm sorry. No, it should not be. I don't think they should move ours.
Okay. And what's the best kept secret food joint in Louisville?
Chex. It's actually in Middletown, but Chex.
All right, Coach. Well, I appreciate having you on. You're welcome back anytime. And I have a feeling you're going to be getting a lot of reach out from coaches that are trying to work on their zone offense. You know, and I can't emphasize enough how much they can gain by kind of, you know, just seeing it's the little things that you guys did well that made you so great at it. But I appreciate it. Stay safe and have a great off season.
Thank you so much, Wyatt. You too.
All right. See you.
Appreciate it.
Bye. All right. You still there? For Coach Dugan, this is Wyatt Faust, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. During this time of social distancing, we will be releasing new episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We will try to do one college and one high school coach a week until we resume normal life activities. Come back on Thursday as we have Coach Tim Hayworth from Louisville Mail on the show to discuss culture and how culture has become king.